Very much for reading that psalm, Psalm 34. Now, if you have a Bible in front of you, it'd be great if you could keep that open on page 561. And I also realise it's on our sheets as well, which is great. So please do keep that open. Now, children, I'm going to need your help this morning. It would be really great if you could bring a kneeler out with you and come and sit at the front. Because right from the very beginning, I'm going to need your assistance. Brilliant. Well done, Charlotte. Great. Sophia, Charles, are you going to come and join me? Great. Good. Great. Well done, Arabella. Great. Okay. Good. Come and have them sit down here. If you put them down on the floor here, you can come and sit down. That's wonderful. Great. Come and sit down. So I'm going to need your help. Okay. Great. Thanks, Harry. Okay. So before we get stuck into the psalm, I thought it might be helpful to understand what has just happened to David before he wrote this psalm. And the psalm, the reading that we heard, was written by this man called David. Now, I wonder if any of you know anything about David in the Bible. Can anybody think what David did in the Bible? No? Any of the adults like to help them? What did they, when we think of David in the Bible, what do we think first of all? Peter? Goliath, that's right, that's right. So it was David who defeated Goliath, and there was something significant about Goliath. Sophia, can you remember? He was a giant, good, he was a giant, that's right. Now, when David defeated Goliath, he became a hero in the eyes of the Israelites. So I need somebody. Charles, can you come and help me? Good. Thank you. I need a hero. Okay. Right. Thank you very much. So here is our hero. Now, Charles, at the moment, even I'm not very tall, but even compared to me, Charles is still quite short. But even though David was little, he was a hero in God's eyes and a hero to the Israelite people. The only problem is that many people don't like a hero, and many people don't like God's heroes. And because of that, because he was a hero, some people became his enemies because they really didn't like him very much. So I'm just going to mention two people who didn't like him. One was King Saul. Harry, I need you a minute. Go on. Brilliant. So Harry's going to be our King Saul just for a minute, just to illustrate this point. So Harry is King Saul. Now, David, after he defeated Goliath, he went to live in the home, in the palace of King Saul. And his best friend became Saul's son, who was a young man called Jonathan. Okay? But David was the hero. Was Saul the hero? No, he wasn't. David was the hero. Now, Saul made it very obvious that he didn't like David. What do you think Saul might have been feeling about our hero here? Yes. Jealous, that's right. And jealousy makes us do dreadful things, doesn't it? Sometimes if we're jealous, we do things that are really awful. So Saul threatened to kill our hero, David. Now, because David was really good friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. Jonathan warned him, and he said to David, go, you've got to flee from this place. You've got to run away and hide. Otherwise, my dad will kill you. Can we have a vicious, I'm going to get you? Okay, so at that point, you would have had to run away. So we're just going to go round the table. Right, round the back here, round the back. And Harry is now going to be our other king, the king of Gath. Okay, right, okay. Come on, Charles. Right, so our hero David then runs to somewhere that he thinks is going to be safe, all right? He thinks he's going to be safe with this man called Achish, who was otherwise known as Abimelech, all right? Funny names, I know. See if you can remember Achish, who was the king of Gath. So he comes to see Achish. You better come out, Harry, so everybody can see you. But he notices when he gets to Achish's home, Achish's servants start to talk about him, and they start to recognize and remember that he was a hero. And they've heard all about the great things that King David has done. Well, how might they have felt about our hero?
Jealous.
And a bit threatened. Maybe they're thinking, ooh, what's he come to do? So they start to scheme and plot. Well, David recognizes immediately, he thinks, I know, this is not a safe place for me to be, okay? I know this isn't safe. So he pretends in front of Achish, having seen what the servants are thinking about, he pretends to be mad. Now, somebody less mad than I can think of is standing in front of me, but he pretends to be mad, at which point Achish says, I don't want anything to do with this man. Out. So David leaves the palace. Okay? So on two occasions, David is rescued. All right? Once he's warned about King Saul, and on the other time, he realizes that something's wrong, and he pretends to be mad, and he leaves the palace. Okay? And this is where our reading comes in. So, hero David, can you come and sit down here? I'm going to need you again in a minute. Harry, come and sit down. That's great. Okay, so if you've got the psalm in front of you, that would be really helpful. Okay, David realizes, or it might be helpful to know, if you get home later today and you're thinking, I've just got 5 minutes after lunch or before lunch, before I sit down for lunch with Mum and Dad, you can read about that episode in the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. See if you can get Mum and Dad to look it up for you, because they'll tell you all about it. Okay, David realizes that God has protected him from two potential attempts on his life and warned him in two different ways to leave where he was. So how does David respond to God? He does two main things. So let's have a look at the first thing now. Let's see. Sophie, could you come help me with this? Thank you. So let's see what David does. Can you very carefully just take that off for me at the top? Okay, that's it. Just peel it off. Great. And can you read what it says?
Praise.
Praise. Yes, he praises. That's right. Come sit down, Sophie. That's lovely. David praises God. It seems that the very first thing that he does is to praise God. And he starts very personally. You'll notice in verses 1 and 2, he says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And then he encourages other people to praise God too. Now, I wonder if you have ever praised anybody before. Have you ever praised anybody for something, do you think? What kind of thing? Yes. You've praised God before. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? What sort of thing do we praise people for? How about adults as well? What sort of thing do we praise people for? When they've done something well. Yes, quite often if they've done something really good. Maybe that's true at school. Your teacher might say, wow, that was a wonderful piece of writing. They praise you for something that you've done. Sometimes you might say about your father, if you were going to praise your father, you might say, well, my dad is really kind and patient. He always takes lots of time explaining things to me when I don't understand them. Or you might say about your mother, my mum always remembers to make my birthday a really special occasion. Or my mum's got a great sense of humour. Those are all words of praise. Seeing the good things in people and saying them out loud. The man who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Have you ever read that? Have you seen that film? No? He was a man called C.S. Lewis, and he said that praise was like our inner health made audible. What we know about God in our hearts being spoken out loud. And God really does deserve our praise. So what's the second thing that David does? Let's have a look. Charlotte, can you come and help me up here? Would you mind? Come and help take the sign off for me. Can you take this one? Let's put that. Well done. Just peel that off. Great. Thank you. He praises God, and then he talks about God's provision, the way in which God has provided for him, how God has protected him and answered his prayers for help. And we can read about that in verse 4, where he says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Or verse 17, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." See, David recognized that the only reason he was still alive was because God had heard him and protected him. And God wants, and David wants everyone to know what God has done. God provided a warning through his wife and through Jonathan. And God gave David a strong feeling that all wasn't well at Achish's house. Do you remember how David very quickly learned that the things weren't right when he went to the king of Gath? I wonder if we're good at looking back and seeing how God has provided for us. Sometimes we can look back over a day and see how God has helped us. Maybe helping you to talk in front of the class. Sometimes when we're asked to stand up and explain something at school, we think, oh, I'm not sure if I can find the right words. But sometimes God helps us to do that. Or bringing along a new friend at school. Sometimes it's only when we look back over a few months that we see God's hand at work in our lives, providing and guiding us. Maybe it's the provision of a new job or the opportunity to mend a broken relationship. I wonder if we're like David, telling people what God has done. But David goes further. So he praises God. He talks about God's provision, how God's provided for him. But he also goes further than that, because he knows what God is like and what he's done in David's life. He longs for others to know him too. So what does he do? Would you like to come and help me with this one? Okay. I don't know your name. What's your name?
Sophia.
Sophia. Great. That's wonderful, Sophia. Thank you. Would you like to take that off for me? That's it. Great. And Sophia, can you read what that says there?
Taste and see.
Taste and see. Fantastic. Taste and see. See, David encourages others, he encourages us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, you may have noticed this large box up next to the board there. I wonder if one of you would like to come and read what's on it. Sophia, can you come up and help me out with that? Fab. Okay, so what have we got on the box? Can you say, read what it says on the top?
Lord.
Jesus,
Holy Spirit,
Father God. Okay, now I want you to wait there, Sophia, because I'm going to ask you to do something else in a minute. Okay, so we've got Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father God on the outside of our box. Now, some people think that they know the Lord, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father God, but and they know the names of all those people. But they don't know any more about him. Okay, they don't know more about Jesus, and they don't want to find out more about him. They think they know all about them, but don't actually want to go any further. And some people know those names, but just think they're names, that's all, and don't think there's anything more to it. Okay? So David encourages us all to taste and see. But you can't taste what the Lord is like unless you really find out more about him. And we need to try, and we're going to see what's in the box, first of all. Can you help me open the box? Okay. Right, okay. Now, Sophia, what have we got on the top there? What have we got? Yeah, Smarties, all sorts of sweets on our cake. Can you step back a bit so everybody can see it there? Now, it would have been rather a shame, wouldn't it, if we had not opened that box, Sophia, wouldn't it? That would have been a shame. We would never have found out what was inside. Now, Sophia, do you think you would like to taste the cake? No. No. Was anybody here who'd like to taste cake? Oh, right. Okay. Harry, come on. You come up and come and help taste this cake. Right. Okay. Because you can't actually know what it's like, can you, unless you've tasted a piece of cake. Right. Let's just take a bit from the end here. Right, and when you've had a taste of it, Harry, I want you to whisper what it's like in my ear. Okay. Right, now, when you've tasted something that's good, there's absolutely no point, is there? You don't just sort of whisper to somebody, do you? Now, when we've tasted something good, what do we want to do? Eat it. And what else do we want to do? What else would you want to do? If you tasted something really great, what would... Have some more? Have some more, definitely. What else would you want to do? Tell everybody about it. So, Harry, I want you to blast out what you've just told me.
The cake is very good.
Louder.
The cake is very good.
The cake is very good. You see, David wants people to taste and see what the Lord is like so that they can discover for themselves that he is good. Now, it would have been a real shame, wouldn't it, if we had left our cake hidden under a box. I think most of us would say, even if we don't like cake very much, would say, well, that was a bit of a waste. Arabella, do you like cake? Would you like to come and taste as well? I think we need a second opinion, don't we? Come on. Is that all right, Dad? No, come on. Come and... Right, come on. Okay. Now, when you've had a little taste, I want you to tell everybody what you think. Okay, so do you want to taste some of the cake? You take a bit first. Chocolate, and can you say, do you like it? Okay, all right. Now, that's a really good example, isn't it? Because Arabella saw Harry eating the cake. She heard from Harry that the cake was delicious, so she wanted to come and taste it for herself. Now, I suspect that when Arabella goes back down there, she might even go and tell somebody else that she's eaten some really nice cake, and they might want to come up and taste for themselves. Okay, you two come and sit down. We will cut it up later and have it later on. Okay. Well, that's exactly the same thing that David is doing in the psalm. He's shouting about God's goodness to him because he wants everyone to know for themselves. Now, the taste that he talks about here is tasting the word of God in the Bible, where we come to know the one true living God, and when we taste to see what God is like. Now, have you noticed, when we finally understand something for the first time, often we say, oh, I see. But we don't just mean, oh, I see it with my eyes. We mean, I understand it. And that's what David wants people to do. He wants people to understand, to taste the word of God, to taste Jesus in the Bible, and understand for themselves how good he is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, we won't be able to find out about him if we don't open up the Bible. It would be a little bit like keeping the cake box firmly shut. And we know that wouldn't have been a good idea. And these words are not just for David, they're for us too, to encourage us. So this week, I wonder if we can remember to praise God and to tell our friends about what he's done for us day by day, in sending Jesus to die for us, for our sins, and for their sins. And I wonder if we can encourage each other and our friends to come and find out more about the Lord. Let's pray that they taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Our Father God, thank you that you took care of David, that you protected him from Saul and from Achish. Thank you that he sang your praises and spoke of your provision. Help us to taste and see that the Lord is good, and to speak of your provision for us, your guidance, and your providing for us day by day. Help us to sing your praises. In Jesus' name, amen.